looking for.
There we go.
All right. Well, welcome to the Karen or Messianic Synagogue Yitzchor service, the Yom Kippur Yitzchor service. And this is day like no other day of the year. We have Sabbaths each week, but this week Yom Kippur falls on the Sabbath. And it's called, as I said earlier today, the Sabbath of Sabbaths, meaning that it's the most important. It takes precedence over regular Shabbats. It doesn't eliminate the Shabbat, but it does allow for fasting on the Shabbat, which would normally not be allowed. Now, Yom Kippur is the most important date on the Hebrew calendar. And there are others who will say, maybe this, maybe that. But it's really Yom Kippur that's the most important date. It's the day that almost all Jewish people recognize in some way. Even when I was secular growing up, we recognized Yom Kippur and would fast on it. I may not know of why we did it, but we did it. It's said that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur will be marked off by almost all of the Jewish people in the way that I did as well. And the truth is that it should be observed by all people who trust in Adonai and his calendar. Because the feast as a whole, all seven of them, plus the Shabbat, so really can you say eight, really are making a guideline of Messiah's return for us. His whole timeline, in fact. Those that were fulfilled and those that are going to be fulfilled, they all mean something as to Messiah's march to eternity for us. There's no fixed date to them, but they are things to look forward to. The other, so last night, I want to skip right down to it because it's kind of a longer part. Last night I did a history of what Yom Kippur is. I don't have time to do it now. I'm hoping to be able to get that up onto the onto one of our archives soon. But I did say about repentance. I spoke about repentance last night. And I'm going to continue on this subject today. Now, I had said that there were six steps to repentance. I'm not so hard-headed or stiff-necked to think that there couldn't be phrased differently. You know, maybe some have more steps, maybe some have less steps. Can I turn myself down a little bit, maybe? I can't do it myself. Could you turn me down just a little bit? I do believe, though, that these six steps that I'm going to be going over today can get a, you know, if you can get a good grasp on them, you'll be able to walk out in repentance at what Adonai desires for each of us. So, the first step is to recognize. And I think it's an obvious step, but one that the world has trouble with. Perhaps because of what the second step is, I'll get to that in a moment. But if any of us want to do anything about who we are and what we're doing, we need to see who we are and what we're doing. In other words, we need to recognize where we are in our lives and the sin that's within us and about us. Because we cannot change if we don't know of it. In Ezekiel, there's a time that some people came to Ezekiel to hear from Adonai about an issue to be clarified by Adonai. They knew that they needed Adonai's help. So they go to the prophet to hear from Adonai. And here's what Adonai says through the prophet Ezekiel in 14:1. Some of the elders of Israel came to me and sat before me. The word of Adonai came to me saying, "Son of man, these men have set up idols in their hearts. They have put the stumbling block of their iniquity right before their faces. Should I let them inquire of me at all? Therefore, speak to them and say to them thus. Thus says Adonai Elohim, every man from the house of Israel who sets up idols in his heart and puts the stumbling block of his iniquity right before his face and then comes to the prophet, I, Adonai, will answer him as he comes with the multitude of his idols, so I may take hold of the house of Israel in their hearts. For they have all become estranged from me through their idols. Am I on the right page? Yeah. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says Adonai Elohim, turn away from your idols, turn your face from all your abominations. For those of us who already want to be aligned with Adonai and not to sin but to be repentant, we want, of course, to not be like those because of our sin. Here, we don't want to be those who know of our sin and don't do anything about it. But for most of us, we just don't even see or recognize the sin that's in our hearts. This was the issue of the people that came to Ezekiel to hear from Adonai. They thought that they were okay with Adonai. We'll just go to him to hear what he has to say about this one issue. But Adonai, he sees the heart. He sees the idols and problems that are within the heart. So he points them out. Scripture doesn't say that what the problem is, just that they had a problem, these idols. But I can assure you that if Adonai says that there is a problem, will he not also disclose the problem to be dealt with? So we don't get the full story here, but we have enough of it that Scripture shows us what he wants us to know. We need the Ruach to point out the problems and issues that are within us as well. We need to go to the Ruach and say, I don't know if there's something that I don't know. So Ruach, search my heart. Tell me of the changes that need to be made and the things that I need to repent of. Ruach, show me, tell me, and then help me to deal with the issue so that I can be truly repentant and become once again aligned with you. Sometimes that thing is right there in front of us, but we just refuse to see it for what it really is. There are times others will say something to you, and the response you give is, no, that can't be right. I don't see that. Therefore, I don't have that problem. No, don't worry about me. You could even say, I don't have that problem. It's as a refusal to recognize the sin issue. But that refusal will stop you in your tracks when it comes to repentance without an eye. And even with others. I'm speaking today mostly about your relationship that you have with Adonai, but in many ways, this goes for interpersonal relationships as well, those with other people. And that leads us up to the second step, humility and sincerity. As I said, this second step will stop even the first step. So maybe it should have been the first step. I placed it second because one of the issues to disclose to us is our humility. We need to be humble enough to accept the fact that it is, that the need to change is there. And the change has to be done sincerely. This cannot be the waving of a hand towards it, but really putting our hands to work, so to speak, so that the change happens. We have to humbly accept the word of Adonai for us and to humbly and sincerely change. The idea that we can just sacrifice it away, pay for the sin by doing other things, in other words, that's not the way of Adonai. Look at what Samuel says in 1 Samuel 15:22. Samuel said, does Adonai delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of Adonai? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to pay heed than the fat of the rams. Our sins are not just a traffic stop where we get to pay a ticket and then keep on right doing it. Adonai knows our hard attitudes and will not accept the sacrifice if it was not a sincere desire to change our ways. The traffic ticket's supposed to make you want to stop speeding or parking incorrectly. But if we're willing to just pay the fine and continue doing what we've done, we can expect more consequences, right? We can expect to be caught speeding again or parking incorrectly again. King David wrote something very similar in Psalm 51:18. For you would not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it, or be pleased by burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. David says, Adonai does not want you to just pay the fine. And in fact, will not accept the payment of the fine if you will not change in your heart and not do that violation again. David says, be broken and be contrite about what he shows you is wrong. The world wants to look for ways to get away with continuing the actions that Adonai doesn't want from us. But we're to be different. We're to change even before we bring the next sacrifice to him. The fact that the temple where sacrifices were to be made just means that The fact that the temple where sacrifices were made were to be made just means that the sacrifice is one of the heart and attitude. We need a change before we can expect the praise and the words of blessing to Adonai are going to be accepted. We know that Yeshua said in Matthew 5:7, this is one that most of us know, starting actually in 3. Matthew 7:3, I'm going to start. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not notice the beam in your own eye? Or how will you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye? And look, the beam is in your own eye. Hypocrite, before you take the beam out of your own eye, then you will see clearly and take the speck out of your brother's eye. Now, I know this is used in a different way a lot of times. If we were to remove the speck from our own eye before we go to our brother, how much more should we be humbly and sincerely repentant of the things in our lives before going to God? If you think that your brother will not or even shouldn't listen to you while you have this speck in your eye, how much more is that a problem when you go to Adonai? He sees the speck. Your brother may overlook it, but he sees it. He knows it. Take care of the problem. Repent even before going to Adonai with a sacrifice. You can't hide anything from Adonai. Now, the next step to repentance is to turn. Once you've recognized the problem and you humbly and sincerely desire to address it, you next need to turn from the sin that's shown to you. In that turning from the sin, we have discovered we're to then free up the Ruach. We can free up the Ruach who can lead us to healing. We all know the verse from 2 Corinthians that says this in 2 Corinthians 7:13. If I shut up heaven so that there's no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among the people, when my people, over whom my name is called, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive the sin and heal their land. Humbly calling on him, humbly praying, humbly turning from the sin and evil ways creates an environment that I and I can use to forgive and heal. It's when we don't turn that we see in Scripture that we're not only not going to be healed, but it heaps judgment upon us. Shaul, the Apostle Paul, tells us this in Romans chapter 2. Don't go looking for 2 Romans. Not going to help. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Or do you belittle the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you to repentance? But by your hand and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment is revealed. Sometimes as I read the scriptures out loud, I look at it and I stop and I'm looking at it and thinking about it instead of hitting the clicker to get to the next one, because his words are worthy of being meditated on even. Now, God's kindness, or his Torah and Ruach, lead us to the turning, which is the repentance, or at least the step of repentance. It is the heart that is unrepentant, that refuses to turn, that has wrath stored up for it in the final days when God's judgment is revealed. That second coming of Messiah Yeshua, the first time he came as Savior, the second time he'll come as Judge. It may or may not be seen in this life, but it will certainly be seen at the end of time, that wrath, if you're not aligned with him, if you've not turned to him. The good news is that it is not too late to turn to Adonai. Isaiah tells of a people who had many idols that they carried, but they still had an opportunity to turn to him. So Isaiah 45:20, assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, fugitives of the nations. Those who carry their wooden idols have no knowledge, praying to a God who cannot save. Declare and present your case. Indeed, let them consult others. Who foretold this from ancient time? Who has declared it of old? Is it not I, Adonai? There is no other God besides me, the righteous God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, there is no other. Regardless of how far you are from Adonai, and actually, it's how far you feel from Adonai, because he is always right there as soon as you turn. He'll be with you. He doesn't want you to have eternal death. He will always offer a way back, turning towards him. Ezekiel 33, starting in 10. You, son of man, say to the house of Israel, you have said, surely our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we are pining away in them. So how can we live? Say to them, as I live, it is a declaration of Adonai. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Return, return from your evil ways. Why will you die, O house of Israel? When a wicked person turns from his wickedness, he does what is just and right. He will live by it. Ezekiel speaks of people pining away in their sins with no hope. No hope that they could get to know Adonai. But Adonai says that he does not want them to die. And when they, and even if they come in their wickedness and turn to Adonai and do what's right, they will live. So then what's right It's the instructions of Adonai. It's Torah. It's for all of us. There's no too late to get to know Torah. There's no too late to turn to him. Now, the next step is to confess. The Mishnah says, those who must bring sin offerings or guilt offerings, their sacrifices do not atone for them until they repent. And similarly, the one who was obligated the death penalty or lashes, their death or lashes does not atone for them unless they repent and confess. That's from the Mishnah, early Jewish sage history writings. I said earlier that there can be repentance without salvation, but there cannot be salvation without repentance. Mishnah is supporting this statement. They're not able to atone for the sins until and unless they repent. There is an order for things to happen for all of these things. Adonai is a God of order. And in this case, repentance has to happen before salvation. David's Psalm 32 speaks of a time that he sinned and what happened before and after he confessed to Adonai. David says that this is a contemplative psalm. And I got to say that word again in a moment. Ugh. It's a psalm. It means that we should put thought into it, meditate on it, turn it over in our minds to understand it. So, Psalm 32, 1 through 5. It's a psalm of David, a contemplative psalm. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is pardoned. Blessed is the one whose guilt Adonai does not count, in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones became brittle through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was drained as in a drought of summer. Selah, think about it. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not hide my iniquity. I said, I confess my transgression to Adonai, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Selah, think about it. For David, there was a before he confessed and an after he confessed. Before, there were brittle bones groaning all day. The hand of Adonai was heavy upon him, meaning that things just weren't going easy for him, and he felt drained of energy. But after the confession, there was a forgiveness from Adonai that David felt from above. David's relationship with Adonai was strained, and then there was no light for him there. This is what John wrote about in his first letter from him, 1 John 1:15. Now this is the message we've heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and keep walking in the darkness, we're lying and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of his son, Yeshua, purifies us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, in Judaism, confession, vidui, is a step in the process of atonement during which a Jewish person admits to committing a sin before God. In sins between a person and God, the confession must be done without others present. In fact, the Talmud calls confession in front of another person a show of disrespect. On the other hand, confession pertaining to sins done to another person are permitted to be done publicly. In fact, Maimonides, the ancient sage, called such confessions immensely praiseworthy. We can see an example in Scripture to show that principle in action. Numbers 5, we were told that Adonai told Moses about the individual who sins against another person. So Numbers 5:7, Adonai spoke to Moses saying, "Say to Bnei Israel, whenever a man or woman commits any sin against any person, thus breaking faith with Adonai, that soul bears guilt. That person is to confess the sin he has committed, make full restitution for his wrong, add one-fifth to it, and give to the one he's wronged." Adonai says that the one who sins against another person is to go to that person, confess, and make full restitution, add one-fifth to it. And we saw that the one who sinned against Adonai is to go to Adonai in your private time with him and confess the sin so that you can move forward with your relationship with him. Now this leads us to the next step, to be cleansed. Not by speaking out of the sin, but by the blood. We also need to see in the Scripture that this cleansing that we get from Adonai is not a one-time thing. When the prophet Jonah went to Nineveh, he shows them their sin. The whole city repents. But we know later in the Scripture, the city is destroyed for another sin that they did. It shows repentance is not a one-time thing, but for each sin, it's a new event. We're to constantly be checking our heart and going to Adonai to be cleansed through the blood that is from Yeshua. We're instructed to be cleansed each time we sin in order to be in the presence of Adonai. Here are two examples, one from the Tanakh and one from the Brit Hadashah, the Old and the New Covenant. First from the Tanakh, and we go back to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 33:12. "You, son of man, say to the children of your people, the righteousness of the righteous person will not deliver him in the day of his transgression, nor will the wickedness of the wicked person make him stumble in it on the day he turns away from his wickedness. Nor will a righteous person be able to live by it on the day he sins. When I tell the righteous that he will surely live, but he trusts in his own righteousness and commits iniquity, none of his righteous deeds will be remembered. But in the iniquity of that he committed, he will die. When I say to the wicked, you will surely die, yet he turns from his sin and does what is just and right. If the wicked restores a pledge, gives back what he had taken by robbery, walks in the laws of life, committing no iniquity, he will surely live. He will not die. None of his sins that he has committed will be remembered against him. He has done what is just and right. He will surely live." Each time you reap, you sow. So, if we're walking with Adonai and we turn from him, you'll reap from that turn away from him. Even though you're walking with him, that turn, if that's your final step in life, that's the thing that you'll be judged upon. Because that turn, it may sound harsh, but that turn made you ritually unclean All the good things you've done before aren't cleaning that ritual uncleanliness. And there are people in the world today. God, why isn't all that stuff that I did really good just because I did this one thing? Why doesn't that count? The answer is that if the final step you take is to turn towards Him, regardless how poorly you lived before Him, that final step that you take towards Him will save you for all eternity. The rule is the same for your final step. If it's to Him, even if it's for the first time, if you turn to Him, it's eternity with Him. But if that final step is away from Him, eternity is away from Him. So if you're on one side, it sounds really good. But if you're on the other side, it sounds really harsh. But Adonai is a good God who judges the same way everybody. It's what's in your heart when you take that final breath. We see this in the Brit Hadashah as well. 2 Corinthians 6:19, verse 6:19, and I'm going to take up the first verse in 7. What government does God's temple have with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God. And they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says Adonai. Touch no unclean thing. Then I will take you in. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says Adonai to Tzvaot. Therefore, since we have these promises, loved ones, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of body and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. If you come out from the idols, you are cleansed, you will be saved. There is no one that can truly say that they've been bad too long to be in the presence of Adonai. There's no one who is too far from Him that He can't reach and clean up so that they can have an eternity spent with Him in heaven. We have the assurance that when we turn towards Adonai, accept the blood that cleanses, that we will be in His presence, the presence of the King of Kings, the Most High, forever. So then, why can we not just wait for the final minute? Let's just do all this over here. Ooh, just before I'll turn. Doesn't work that way. And there are two reasons it doesn't work that way. The first is that you don't know when your final breath is going to be. You don't know. And if you do not know when your last breath is, you don't know when to confess and turn. And if you do know, how sincere is that turning and repentance going to be? And Adonai knows the heart. He knows your heart. If you're saying, well, if I just wait for the last minute and then jump, He knows that. He knows that's a false acceptance, and He will not accept. Now, the final step in repentance is one that people might say, huh? Walk on. Walk on in your relationship with Adonai. That's your final step. And perhaps the hardest for most people who have taken the previous five steps. It's the walking out the relationship with Adonai without looking back, without feeling guilty about your actions of the past. If they're truly repented of, they're truly forgotten by Adonai. There is no reason to feel guilty about anything that Adonai does not remember. Unlike most people, he truly only sees what he sees. We as people, although we could offer forgiveness, it's so much harder to forget the hurt that occurred. But just because we can't forget the hurt doesn't mean that he can't forget the hurt. He does forget. We place at times our restrictions on God. God doesn't have the same restrictions. He isn't made of flesh. He's able to do so much more than we can, which includes forgetting sins that were truly repented of. Listen to what Adonai says through Isaiah in chapter 55, starting in verse 6. Seek Adonai while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous one his thoughts. Let him return to Adonai, so he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways. It's a declaration of Adonai. Adonai will have compassion and will abundantly pardon. What does that mean to be pardoned? According to Wikipedia, pardon is a government decision to allow a person to be relieved of some or all of the legal consequences resulting in a criminal conviction. In the case of Adonai, it says that he's abundantly pardons. That means completely, totally, without any remembrance of the offense. We may not be able to forget it, but Adonai is not able to remember it. You know, we say there's nothing impossible for Adonai, but wait, he doesn't remember. You may bring something up to him, which was already abundantly pardoned. And what does Adonai say? I don't know what you're talking about. I don't see it. It's gone. Come, sit with me. You're ritually cleaned again. Stop bringing up old stuff. Repentance is a daily thing. Because we sin just about every day. I don't know about you, but I do. Sorry. But not the same things, hopefully. We don't repent for the same things if we've repented for it correctly the first time. We don't keep bringing it up. We don't keep beating ourselves up. We don't keep bringing it up to Adonai. It's been done. This is what Ezekiel said about the things that we have repented about already in the past. Ezekiel 18, 21. But if the wicked turn from all the sins that he has committed and keeps all my laws and does what is lawful and right, he will surely live and not die. None of his transgressions that he committed will be remembered because of his righteousness. That he practiced, he will live. None of what he's committed will be remembered by Adonai. Maybe you remember him. Adonai does not. Want to see a couple examples as proof of this in Scripture? Neither King David nor Saul, Shaul, both of whom were great sinners in their lives, never, ever, even once wrote to say that they regularly visited their old sins asking for forgiveness. We know they both sinned, amazingly abundantly. Shaul, when he was still rabbinic Judaism, murdered, killed many, imprisoned falsely many. Once he was forgiven, never kept going. You know, he may have said, every time he talks about it, I was, not I am. I did, not I do. I am forgiven. I am covered. David, over and over again, we see him sin in scriptures. But once he's turned to Adonai, that sin was done. He sinned again. He turned to Adonai. That sin was done. That was the heart of David and why he called Adonai called David so great. A man after my own heart is because his heart was to turn every time. To turn and recognize what he did. To turn humbly so that he could look for forgiveness from Adonai. To confess it Adonai so that it would be forgiven. To be cleansed at that time by blood, but now it's the blood of Messiah Yeshua. But it's the same process. And then he got up and walked on. Once it's done, it's done. Therefore, we are not to relive our sins. We're not to re-ask for forgiveness. We don't have to. It's not Adonai's will that we keep going back. Remember that thing I did when I was 20 years old? No, you were forgiven for it already. I don't remember it. But Adonai, then why do I? There are consequences for it still. But not for me. That's God we live with and for. A God who saves us through his blood, who cleanses us through his blood, and looks forward to us being before his throne for all eternity as long as we continue to walk in his instructions, the Torah, his instructions, which spell out how to gain his forgiveness, his instructions that spell out how to gain eternity before him. Father, we thank you that you have given us your instructions on how to live, your instructions on how to gain forgiveness. We thank you that we don't have to keep going back over and over again in order to gain that forgiveness. But we do ask Ruach HaKodesh, help us to avoid revisiting the old sins, and yes, help us to avoid creating the new sins. Ruach, we need you. We need you to walk with us, to guide us, to be our counselor, so that we will walk rightly with Adonai. So we thank you on this Yom Kippur day, a day that we've listed out of the Elchet all of the sins of our community. And we ask that you be kind and gracious, not just to us, but to our Jewish brothers, our brethren. Be kind to them by opening up their eyes so they would see who you are, to see the salvation by the blood, the cleansing by the blood, so that they too can have an eternity with you. We just thank you and praise you. And everyone said, amen and amen.